As I mentioned at the beginning of Mass this morning, today is Divine Mercy Sunday. And in case we are not overly familiar with this relatively new feast day in the life of the Church, here's a quick crash course, okay? During the 1920s and 1930s, a Polish nun named Sister Faustina Kowalska received visions and visits from our Lord Jesus. And he spoke to her of his desire that people come both to know the depth of his merciful love for them and that they take advantage of that infinite mercy now and not put it off any longer. Specifically, Jesus told Sister Faustina of his desire that the Sunday after Easter be a feast in honor of his divine mercy, on which souls would have the opportunity to reflect upon and to experience his mercy, especially by prayer with the Divine Mercy image, which you can see right here in front of the altar. We also have one on display in front of the altar at St. Mary's in Silver Bay. He also asked for the praying of the Divine Mercy Chaplet, which we will do together later this afternoon, and the opportunity for the sacrament of confession, which we will also have later this afternoon. Then in the year 2000, St. John Paul II canonized St. Faustina and instituted the second Sunday of Easter today as Divine Mercy Sunday. Now, to grant mercy, of course, is to forgive or loose the debt owed to someone when doing so is not deserved. It's to show pity and kindness in response to a person's misery or struggle or sin. It is to act in a way that goes beyond the mere requirements of strict justice. So to act with mercy is ultimately to love. And since God is love, our God is a God of infinite mercy. The scriptures are filled with references to God's merciful love and kindness, and today's gospel reading about doubting Thomas is no exception. And for us who are living in strange and anxious times, who are facing uncertainty and hardship, mercy is a message that our nation and our world needs now more than ever. And there are four principal ways that I believe God's mercy is on beautiful display in the gospel that we heard today, both for Jesus' apostles and also for us. So first, notice that Jesus comes and finds his apostles who have locked themselves in the upper room away from society due to fear. And he comes to them with a message of peace, mercy, and hope. His very first words to them, which he repeats twice before saying anything else, are "Peace be with you." And notice that it's Jesus who takes the initiative here. He chases after his apostles in love, coming among them, though the doors of the room are locked, and greeting them in peace and mercy. And Jesus does the same for us. I think this gospel is particularly fitting this weekend because you could say that we too are locked up at home, right? Due to the fear of external circumstances, the coronavirus. So to avoid its contamination and spread, we have all been ordered to stay home. But we have to remember that this is not a problem for Jesus, because he'll just come right to us. We must always remember that it is God, not us, who takes the initiative in our relationship with him, which he did on the cross. Because when we were shut up in our sins, when the gates of heaven were locked to us, Jesus broke into our isolation and set us free from sin and death and opened heaven, our eternal home, to us. And in our isolation and quarantine now, Jesus is right there in your midst, in your homes, and in your hearts. Because his mercy propels him to be close to you, to be near you, to be with you, to be in you. The second instance of mercy in this gospel is the fact that when Jesus appears to his apostles, he doesn't in any way reprimand them or even remind them of the fact that when he was in need, when he was afraid, isolated, suffering, and alone, his apostles abandoned him. As we recall, when Jesus was arrested and brought to trial, his disciples all fled and abandoned him, leaving him to face his suffering and death alone. And yet when he appears to them today for the first time after his resurrection, he doesn't speak of any of that. He speaks of nothing but peace, forgiveness, and faith. The same is true for us, brothers and sisters. God does not hold our sins and failings over our heads or browbeat us for our offenses. God is always ready and willing to forgive, to show mercy. The image often used in speaking of God's infinite mercy in the Divine Mercy devotion is that Jesus' mercy is like a great ocean in which we are immersed, being washed clean in the waters of life that flow from his heart. And just as a small amount of dirt or mud that's put into the ocean dissolves quickly and has no impact whatsoever on the enormous immensity of the crystal clear waters of the sea, so our sins are totally dissolved and forever banished when they are humbly submitted to God's infinite mercy. The third example of mercy is that Jesus returns, as we heard, a week later for the purpose of securing St. Thomas's faith. What incredible mercy and love Jesus shows there. Thomas had refused to believe until he had seen and felt the wounds of Jesus for himself. And Jesus obliges. In an act of incredibly patient mercy and understanding, Jesus returns just for Thomas's sake, to assure him and to bolster his faith. And again, Jesus does the same thing for us. Yes, my friends, Jesus' love and mercy for us is that personal, that he will not leave a stone unturned in his pursuit of us. We often think of living the Christian life as our journey to God, our pursuit of God. But it is just as much, in fact, it's infinitely more so, God's loving and restless pursuit of us. Jesus will do whatever it takes to provide us with every opportunity to believe in him, to trust in him, and to love him. But the choice is ours. As we heard, Thomas believes. How about us? And finally, the fourth act of Jesus' mercy is to give to the apostles, and through them, to all of their successors, bishops and priests throughout the centuries of the church, all the way down to our own day and age, the ability to forgive sins in his name. After giving to them the gift of the Holy Spirit, Jesus said to the apostles, "Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." We know this opportunity to receive the forgiveness of our sins as the sacrament of reconciliation, confession. Jesus is so determined to give to us every possibility and opportunity for receiving his mercy and love that he entrusts to weak and sinful men the authority to forgive sins in his name, so that all might have easy access to God's merciful forgiveness. But the question is, do I see the sacrament of reconciliation as the true gift of God that it is? I know that going to confession can be nerve-wracking, right? It can feel embarrassing or humbling. But do we also consider how much of a gift it is? That provided we approach the Lord with a sincere and contrite heart, that we're sorry for our sins, that we make a good confession to the best of our ability, that then Jesus' mercy and forgiveness is ours for the taking whenever we ask him. What tremendous love, what tremendous mercy, what tremendous care for us that God makes access to his mercy so incredibly easy. In any Catholic church on any given weekend, or at any time that we can agree on for an appointment with a priest, we can experience and know in our souls the undeserved, all-consuming mercy of God. Brothers and sisters, don't let this gift go unused in your lives. The time is now to take advantage of such incredible love and mercy. Because when you think about it, when you consider this gospel that we heard, it's perfectly reasonable to ask ourselves, what more could God have done to prove his love for me and to make his mercy and saving forgiveness more accessible and available? The answer to that, of course, is nothing. Nothing. So then, the last and most important question, what am I going to do about that?